Attention, calling all whispering hunties. Oh, grrr.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Nijon, a self-proclaimed semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I've never watched it before.
And together we are whispering hunties. Nick?
Me, John?
Do you want to go to the game today?
A game? I love games.
Oh, crap. I was trying to do a Schitt's Creek accent because, you know, obviously our guest today does it so well, but I messed up already. welcome.
David.
David. Oh, Nick.
David. Alexis, it's that kind of paranoia that makes me worried about spending time with you.
That is it. That is it. I don't deserve you.
I love her.
I know. I know. We pledge allegiance to the Schitt's Creek.
Oh, yes. That's your life.
But welcome back, everyone. It is so good to be here for another week of, you know, this never-ending season, but another week to spend time with you.
It feels like we're at the end, but, you know, You end the episode with the same amount of queens as when you started.
Yeah. But we're still here. You know, if you are listening to this podcast today, please feel free to follow us on Instagram or like our page on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Or send this to someone you love and to subscribe to the podcast. We always need more subscribers and we also need reviews. So if you want to leave us a review on anything that we have, please do so, especially on Apple Podcasts, because it helps people find us. Okay.
Yes. It helps things get bigger and better.
Oh, and we want to be bigger and better.
So make sure you don't miss an episode.
Yeah, don't miss an episode. Don't miss an episode. So please do that for us. It'd be really helpful. And then in the meantime, we do have a fabulous guest today. Mm-hmm. We have Bev, just Bev, nothing just else. Bev is Philadelphia's queen of comedy, originally from Westminster, Maryland, which is basically the South, but she moved up north to Philly. Bev has called Philly home for almost 9 years. In addition to her monthly show, Bev's Bitch Fest, Bev hosts and produces numerous events, including an annual live staging of Hocus Pocus with the Live Nation. She also co-produces the annual Philly Beauty Ball, an amateur drag charity event, which has raised over $25,000.
Oh, my God.
I know. For local LGBTQ charities, she is doing the good work, as we all should. Also, recently, she was awarded 2019's Philadelphia Drag Queen of the Year, and you can find her podcast, Bevelations, on iTunes and Google Play, not Spotify. Keep that in mind. Mm-hmm.
what a resume. My God. Saving the world.
It's literally like the world doesn't deserve her. She's iconic. She only has one name because the name tells you everything to now.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. It's succinct.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have, you know, these 14 names.
Yeah. I mean, she's from Maryland, but she's a Philly queen.
Yes. Oh, we love, we live.
So speaking of which, let's get ready to live. Grab a snack. Grab your cat with two different color eyes.
Oh, baby.
Caress that cat. Say hello to your friend. Start an activity. Get ready for your whispering hunties. Hunties.
Because this virus attacks the lungs,
it's never more infuriating when you realize that your life has a price tag on it.
The truth of the matter is we are in the middle of an apocalypse.
There's no leadership.
I went from being an ER nurse to you're a healthcare hero. I feel like a sham.
Apocalypse Now is a podcast that asks if we are living at the beginning of the end. I'm Joanna Van Thine. Join me every week as I talk with interesting people and decide if we're all doomed. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my gosh, have we made contact? Is Bev here? Bev,
oh my Bev? Gosh. Oh, hi. Hello. Oh. Lights, cameras, me without a stitch of makeup on. Oh, ooh. God.
I sure you betcha you'll look great,
what
darling.
If, what if I did this podcast shoot. Entirely with a fake Minnesota accent?
Oh, crap. Oh, that'd be so funny.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I know.
Are we on Cops?
I know from listening to your podcast that you do quite a good Minnesotan like situation.
When I first started drag, for some reason Bev was from. I basically just stole the accent from Drop Dead Gorgeous.
And, yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, yeah.
I, there's a mayor, no rhyme.
There's
can.
No rhyme. Exactly. There's no rhyme or reason.
You do a good Drop Dead Gorgeous number, right, in your drag.
No way.
I did. It's one that probably wouldn't be considered politically correct nowadays. But,
oh, nothing is. Nothing is.
I did a pageant one time. And then when you win the pageant, the year after, you have to come do your give up.
So, oh, okay.
It being a Drop Dead Gorgeous fan, I, of course, had to do Don't Cry Out Loud by Melissa Manchester.
Oh, God.
And get pushed around in a wheelchair by my friend Vicky in a nurse's outfit.
Did you have oxygen under your nose
exactly.
And all? Oh, God.
It's on YouTube.
Oh my gosh.
It's fine.
Well, okay. Before
iconic.
We get ahead of ourselves, welcome, Bev. It's so yes. Good to have you here. It is. I don't know how to. I mean, we read your bio, but I feel like you're just one of those people who clearly is iconic because you only have one name.
Oh, go on.
Like all the great divas.
Well, but. It's a stupid reason, but yeah, I'm dumb.
Oh, wait, what's the reason?
Oh.
So I come from a musical theater background, mm-hmm. And when I live in Philly now, but I grew up in the Baltimore area, and mm-hmm. The last musical that I did in Baltimore before I moved to Philly was the musical Hairspray. And
oh, good morning.
And in the musical Hairspray, at the end of Act One, all the boys have to be moms in the Mother-Daughter Day dance mm-hmm. That ends Act One. And my friend and I've always been obsessed with John Waters movies. So I took Beverly from Beverly Sutphin from Serial Mom. And we were Bev and Carol, the drunk moms that like hit people with purses during like the riot at the end of. And then I moved to Philly and like kind of did like this improv character, but like kept her name Bev. And then over the years, it just kind of metamorphosized. And I think of all these hysterical punny names mm-hmm. And it's just too late now. It's just
yeah. Bev.
No, it's so good. It's so good. And you know what? It's like Bev, beverage, drag, bars, you know, mm-hmm, it's just. Mm-hmm.
Well, and like graphic designers who like do flyers and stuff always hate me because like other drag queens' names are like Dominique St. John Devereaux. And then they
yeah,
gotta, like,
yeah.
They've got to like fit this long ass name. And then my three letters are just like,
all the better. We need I'd like to see it
their
a
problem
more
not
that.
Mine
yeah I know but also like not gonna lie, those long names, like I get bored like by the time I finish saying them. I mean I love the names, they mm-hmm. You know, it sounds very like Southern, you know, drag family, blah blah blah, yeah. Blah blah, but like I love a good short name, you know.
I love like regional drag is so funny, like what mm-hmm. Names are in different like areas, like down in Florida or in the South, everyone has like 14 names. Mm-hmm. And then like you go to Brooklyn and someone's name is just End Table. It's like, yeah. Okay, cool.
Untitled Queen.
Exactly. We have a queen in Philly now whose name is Buff Chick. So there you go.
Buff Chick.
Shout out to Buff Chick.
Oh my gosh. So
well,
I mean,
all drag is valid, you know.
Exactly.
So in a way, we exist in sister cities, basically, because like, I mean, Philly is just like a stone's throw away from New York.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously we each have our own scenes. Like, so what is the lay of the land? Because we're talking to Philadelphia's Queen of Comedy. Like,
Well, Philadelphia's drag community is very, very diverse. I come from Baltimore, and especially when I was growing up and coming out in Baltimore, it was a very pageanty scene, and it was very, I always said, like, if you weren't wearing a leotard and going, get on up, with 12 whip sounds, you weren't doing drag. But Philly, especially over the last few years, there's now basically a scene and a show for every style of drag. We have, there's a show here called Devil Drag, where if you want to do like the goth thing and like smear blood all over yourself, that.
Get your spooky on.
We have, there's a huge, vibrant.
With someone called Lil Nas.
There's a vibrant drag king scene. We have a monthly trans and non-binary showcase show. There's comedy queens. There's 5,000 brunches. There's new drag queens and drag performers popping up every day. So I'm very, very fortunate.
Obviously you're amongst them, but like what do you use like a good night out in Philly?
Well, the good thing about Philly's neighborhood is that it's like literally a 2 to 3 block radius. Mm-hmm. So you just start at what you do, like a, you do an early cocktail at a, like a place called U Bar or Knock, which are known for their like exceedingly heavy pours. So you get a nice buzz to get going. There. then you go to a show at one of the bars that's having shows. Mm-hmm. Shows normally like an hour to an hour and a half. And then you go to one of the other bars that you haven't been to yet and end the evening.
So, ooh, and
they're all within walking distance. You don't have to worry about Ubers or all that kind of
Not going to 10 different boroughs, you know.
Exactly.
Five borough cities. Yeah.
So it's almost like a boys' town, like Chicago.
I've never been, but that's what people have compared it to, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay.
That's so lovely.
Yeah, I like it.
Short and sweet.
And then tell us about, Hocus Pocus? You've been doing, like, this live staging of Hocus Pocus?
Yeah, so I've always been a huge fan of Peaches Christ and Coco Peru and like all the names, the drag queen names before Drag Race came around.
Yeah.
And Peaches has done for years these like live stagings of
in San Francisco.
Exactly.
In Seattle.
Of like cult classic movies.
Mm-hmm.
And
fun.
So I wanted to do something similar here in Philly, and we did it at a small local bar here 1 year, and it like sold out immediately. And I have a friend, I work a lot with Drag Diva Brunch, which is a national brand that's now Live Nation.
And we had Jada Valenciaga on our podcast, and she does that too.
Yes. And the general manager of the location in Philly was like, hi, we want to do a weekend of it at the Punchline in Philly, which is like a 350-seat room. We were supposed to actually tour it last year, but then Miss Coronavirus put a halt to that. But
you were talking about that on
the
pod.
Does anybody even like her?
Right?
No.
Right? Miss Pam Demick, she put a damper on everything. So so that's really, it's a huge undertaking. Like, I think with Peach's shows, she tends to like write a script and everyone acts it out. We actually do, and we did it with Drop Dead Gorgeous too. We lip sync everything from start to finish. I'll make like one giant master mix. So we like mix in, like everyone gets a solo song and like that kind of fit within the character. Mm-hmm. Like in Hocus Pocus, when Mary wants to do a calming circle, we put in that Enya Sail Away song. We all just interpret dance.
Oh God, that's doing fun.
And in the audience.
So you're adding tracks to the
you
kind of
cut
movie.
It down, and then it ends up being around the same time with the parts that you like cut out, and then the solos you put in.
Oh God,
but
that's
all lip synced
so
all the way from start to finish. So it's a big undertaking.
I feel like this is a step
ticket
beyond, because I feel like I've seen like things where, you know, like Rocky Horror Show, like they're playing the movie,
right,
but then the actors are there,
like
doing it at
cast
the same time.
Right.
But you're talking about like it's lip sync.
We do it like a play. We just lip sync it. We don't speak. Yeah.
That is so cool.
That's so fun.
You.
And I love the inclusion of like other songs and like cutting down, skipping to like the parts.
Right.
So you're not just watching a movie or listening to a movie being performed.
Right.
It's like totally different and new. I have to go.
like for example, when we did Drop Dead Gorgeous here in the city, a former RuPaul's Drag Race girl, whose name I won't say because I don't want to give her the airtime, but I'll bring her up anyway.
Okay.
Who might be famous for lifting someone over her head. She played Gladys Lehman. So when they did the Swan Ate My Baby thing, she picked up the drag queen playing her dead daughter and put her over her shoulder. And then RuPaul came on and was like, drag is not a contact sport. So then she put her dead daughter back on the stage. And was like, oh, Swanee, my baby.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That lift will never die.
Oh, boy. Yeah, lest we forget.
And her daughter was played by Ariel Versace, which is even funnier.
Oh my God. Yeah. I forgot
our two claims to fame here with Drag Race fame. She shall not be named an Ariel Versace. I forgot
that Ariel Versace was originally from Philly and then she moved to LA or something.
Jersey. She's
No shame there, okay?
She's 5 minutes over the bridge. Like, she technically is/was a Philly queen. Mm-hmm. There's just, I don't know, we can talk about Drag Race when we get there. No one wants to be associated with Philly drag on Drag Race.
Oh, really?
She changed
her.
That's
sad.
No one from our city's actually gotten on that's actually lived in Philly at the time, so.
I think less people should be saying New York.
Yeah.
Like, Olivia should have just been a Jersey queen. Like,
I agree.
Just embrace it.
She shouldn't have been a New York queen, because honestly, like, no one knew who she was.
Well, yeah. That's what I'd heard.
Yeah. Like, I had never heard of Olivia. Maybe she did perform at Club Cubbing a couple times, but that doesn't make you a New York queen. One of her other claims to fame was she won a pageant
In Asbury Park,
which is in Jersey.
Jersey.
And it would have been really cool to have a Jersey queen that would have differentiated her.
That's what I'm saying.
Being part of like New York is just like all over Drag Race, and I love it because I'm from New York and I love all those drag queens. But anyway, we're talking about you.
Exactly.
Now back to you. Obviously, right now there's so many crazy things going on in our country. I mean, from last year to this year, from terrible legislation in Russia that just happened, I think also yesterday. But you also have been doing drag charity events and raising money for actual LGBTQ charities. So thank you for doing that. And can you just tell us a little bit about that so that, if anyone's listening, they can support and, we can do the good thing.
Yes. So an event that was held here in Philly, before I moved here, I kind of took over a few years ago. It's called the Philly Beauty Ball, and it's we call it an amateur drag charity event. It started out as an excuse. Every gay guy dresses in drag for Halloween anyway. Mm-hmm. So two weekends after that, we would have the beauty ball, and it's like, oh, you get more bang for your buck.
Still in the mood for it.
Everyone
have the new wig.
Comes out and does bad drag, and we do a lip sync for your life thing. And slowly over the years, it's metamorphosized, but it's always been a charity event. And the last, since my co-producing it with my friend Ryan, it's been a benefit for the Attic LGBT Youth Center, which is a predominantly trans youth shelter here in the city that we raise money for every year. And it's gotten bigger and bigger. Last year we raised not last year, obviously, that again, Miss Pandemic shut that down. But the year 2019 was the 10-year anniversary, and we had Layla McQueen come as a guest. And we raised almost $15,000 just in that one night.
Oh my God. Amazing. Bev, you are saving the world.
You know, she tries. She tries. But I think it's important to just, as you can see, I'm fortunate enough to be able to, have nice things. I think it's part of our responsibility to give back.
It shouldn't just be
sitting home counting our shekels like Scrooge McDuck. It's supposed to, you're supposed to give back to the community that provides for you.
Yeah, you can't take it with you.
I always think about this in terms of volunteering. In volunteering, you're also giving back to yourself because you're putting your name out there, you're networking, you're engaging with people. There may be business opportunities that come along your way because of these people that you're, running in circles with. But at the same time, I think we have to remember to try and find something that we can do. And it's not just donate. It's actually something you can do. Because, money only goes so far. Okay.
And that's building community too. So not only are you raising so much money, you're really doing your part to strengthen a lot of the community.
And what's funny is that a lot of actual legitimate drag queens have had their first nights in drag at the Philly Beauty Ball. It's like, I'm personally responsible for half the monsters in the city now.
What you brought.
You're still not getting my gigs though.
Work smarter, not harder, baby. It's fine.
Yes. Okay, so I mean, this really cracks me up. I looked you up on TikTok. You have like 19 posts, maybe, but you have 17,000 followers, and one of your 19 posts has 2.1 million views. Who are you?
You're chicken and talking.
This is the craziest slash most frustrating story ever, and I'm probably going to say the F word a lot, so you may have to bleep it. But so, okay, so like I just turned 39. On Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I'm an old lady. When it comes to social media, like I don't have Snapchat. I was late.
Don't get it.
I was late to Instagram. I predominantly do everything on Facebook, like my mm-hmm. mother.
Yeah.
And I've had Facebook for years, still not at the maximum amount of people that at the maximum amount of friends. Mm-hmm. Been on Instagram forever. We have like 7,800, which sounds like a lot, but when you're a drag queen, it's really not that much.
I know. Nowadays, it's like, oh my God, if you don't have like a
couple hundred thousand,
and I'm not one of those, and I'm not one of those queens that will buy followers. Like we all know who they are. It's like, oh, you have 20,000 followers, but you get 20 likes on your posts. Okay, Brenda, sure.
That's not organic.
Yeah.
But so my friend Joel, shout out to my Joel Correa, his TikTok name is It's Me Joel C. He kind of blew up like 6 or 7 months ago on TikTok, just from like doing, like he does like a boy beat, quote unquote, makeup and just like lip syncs and talks. And he's got like 500,000 followers and like does these Friday night lives where he just gets in makeup for no reason and talks to people and they send him a ton of money.
He's nice like, work if you can get it.
Girl, you need to get on TikTok. It's where everyone is right now. And I'm like, I am almost 40 years old. I am not going to be like a grandma on TikTok. And so he like helped me. He literally helped me set it up. and like, I just like, I still don't know how to do all of like the trending things where it's like, oh, let me do that thing where you smash your hand like at the camera and then you reveal it back and you're in drag. Like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that whole
You are an icon. Do not
challenge thing. Yeah. Like, so what I've just been doing is like posting videos that I already had like on my Instagram story or whatever. And so last Saturday night, I did my monthly, Bev's Bitch Fest show here, and I had a wig made that has it's a cage wig and it has a trap door and you can't tell, and I had a martini glass inside of it, and then I had one of those wrist flasks, looks like a bracelet.
It was so epic.
And my friend got a video of it and sent it to me, and I didn't want to post it on Instagram or Facebook because I didn't want to give away the gag to like people who were going to see it at local shows. So I was like, well, I haven't posted anything on TikTok in like 2 weeks, so I'll put it there. Didn't think anything about it. And then I woke up the next day and it had like 600,000 views. I was like,
that's amazing.
Kidding me with this. And it's just like continued and to like blow up, and like Michelle Visage commented on it. What's funny is I love that people have like such a limited like idea of what drag is, because like 500 people have been like, is that Trixie Mattel? I'm like, I am like 3 times the size of Trixie Mattel. That skinny wants nothing to do with my old fat ass. But they see a drag queen in a blonde wig, they're like, it's Trixie Mattel.
Right.
But yeah, it's like over 2 million views now, which is
amazing. It is amazing. I think that you have an elevated sense of humor that you've been working on and crafting, and it's just there. And I think that's why, like, even it, I mean, honestly, like, you have like no posts on this app, but like, it's just like you just being you and just like saying, oh, here's something I did. That's interesting. And, you know, the people that are sitting there, like, you know, doing the same thing as everyone else, like everyone's doing makeup, you know, in front of a camera, everyone's doing whatever the challenge is on TikTok. And like to see something like that was just so refreshing. And it was it was badass, honestly, like to pour yourself a cocktail from your wrist.
Well, shout out to Annie Hart, H-A-R-D-T wigs. She's the one who made it. That's like her thing, is doing like the cage wigs, and like she does all these really cool things where like it looks like a giant heart, like she does like a Queen of Hearts thing. I'm gesturing with my hands on an audio format. I like that.
For the listeners at home, it looks like
it's like
heart.
A Queen of Heart thing, but then like it's hollow and then it's got like cards inside of it and Like, it's just it's not the same that you see all the time, which is what I kind of like from her in the first place. And we collaborated on doing this thing. So,
I mean, look, you're Bev, you're iconic. That's it. People, if you don't know, if you don't know, now you know. Okay.
Damn right. I'll send you the check after this podcast is done.
Oh my God, seriously. Okay, well, let's take a break, and then hopefully at some point during the podcast, we need to talk about our mutual love of Schitt's Creek, because I can tell
I would be clear-ridden to talk about it.
Oh my gosh. So we're back.
And we're back.
You know, I've been saying this for the past couple of weeks because it feels like quite like coronavirus. I don't know when season 13 is going to end. But because there's almost nothing that happens on each episode nowadays, I forget what actually happened. So, Nick.
Yes.
Or Gloria.
Yes.
If you're nasty.
And I am.
Is that your Craigslist voice?
Yes. Can we get a whole story report?
Oh, I think we can, and you'll be delighted to hear it's much shorter than last week. That's right. She's deleting some takes as she edits it as she goes. All right, anyway. We're down to the top four of season 13, and I'm going to say it, I'm Team Rosé. But this is a great top four, and I'd be thrilled if any three of them are crowned. Simone and Rosé lead with wins, but Gottmik has won two of the arguably more difficult challenges, and Gottmik and Rosé have never had to lip sync. We're diving right into the Maxi Challenge, the highly anticipated top four original verse on a Rue song, a brand new one to boot. While writing verses, we have the light tic-tac lunch. It's a laugh riot with Gottmik. Rosé gives us a storied history of performance, even if only 3 years in drag. Candy is one of a kind, hilarious and fearless. Simone shows the depth beneath the diva. My boyfriend Jamal is back to choreograph the dolls for the number. He's the best because he really caters to performers' strengths, but provides the right level of challenge. On the main stage, a metallic RuPaul gets us into the meat. Lucky as a song is upbeat pop with a sexy retro flavor, and the video presentation was one of the most high quality and creative in show history. The original verses were all pretty good, but Rosé was my fave. On the runway, category is drag excellence. Gottmik shows us where all those Dalmatians ended up. Candy looks like a 1960s party. Rosé Cheney stuns with Scottish roots in a tartan gown. Simone is a vision of timeless glamour and black excellence. The critiques were all kind, and the speeches to their younger selves were perfectly powerful. Bless these queens. They will all be lip-syncing. No surprise there. But the gag, honey, is that they're doing it one at a time. But thankfully for us, it's a supercut. The top four remains the top four. No one is shocked. And that's the whole story.
It's like I was there.
It's like I saw it less than 24 hours ago.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So obviously this is one of those episodes where like it just kind of happens and like there's almost like there's no competition left at this point.
Yeah.
You know? But I do have to say one thing that I realized, and I don't know if you, I mean, Bev, I don't know if you watched the Drag Race Holland, but
I did.
Okay, cool. Remember how awkward it was when they would tell what the prizes were at the beginning of every episode, even though the prizes weren't that great.
You mean they want a dress?
You get to have a dress.
You get an ugly dress.
Yeah.
And then it's made out of curtains. Yeah.
No, and then the contestants had to pretend like they liked that idea, even though they all saw the dress like up close and they saw like the pins in the back. Okay. So the reason why we've never really had to deal with this kind of like awkwardness on RuPaul's Drag Race is that they talk about the prizes during the opening credits.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I was like, that is such a simple solve. Why didn't they just do that? Because I guess if you have to say what the prize is every episode, just do it at the beginning.
And they might have an arrangement with the designer or whatever that it has to be
mentioned.
You never know.
Yeah. Oh my God.
The way contracts are with different products. And yeah.
All right. Well, the legalese of it all is just ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I felt offended. Yeah. Anyway.
Hopefully, Holland season two, it's a better prize than a dress. Hopefully, it's two dresses.
I couldn't really get into Holland all that much. It was like, I don't know.
I think linguistically, it was hard to get into because we didn't get all of like the idioms that were being said. Holland was much more enjoyable when we were. Like, we would watch the episode, but I appreciated the episode a little bit better after talking to our Dutch guests that we had on our podcast. So they would, like, answer all of our, like, awkward questions and fill in the gaps. And, like, you know, like, like Goysia Draga or whatever, Goysia, whatever, like, you know, like, they had whatever it was, they were like, oh, no, it's just like Sex in the City. Like, just, and like, here's like the cultural context of the neighborhood that they live in. And like, and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Like,
it helped a lot because a lot gets lost in translation.
And the subtitles were terrible.
I enjoyed the queens. Yes. I think my problem was more so like, I didn't, aside from Nikki tutorials, I had no idea who any of the judges were. I had no idea who the host was.
Oh, big time.
Like,
big
at
time.
Least with like Canada and UK, you 99% of the time know who people are. So it's like, okay, sure. I would like Jennifer Saunders to give me, not Jennifer, Dawn French, give me critiques. But I don't know who the blonde that's next to the other that I don't know. Like,
and like, and if we didn't know them, fine, but like, give us strangers who like are entertaining and have something like educated and like,
let's do a snatch game full of people where I have no idea who the any of them are other than Joe Exotic randomly.
Yeah.
Mindy. Mega Mindy. And do you know how many times I got tagged in every single photo of
Sander Jean as Mega Mindy?
Yes, of Sander Jean. Everyone's like, oh, Jazz is finally on Drag Race. I'm like,
oh my God. Oh my
I wish I was that built, but
f-
you. It's fine.
Oh my God. Okay, anyway. Well, Holland happened.
Yes, anyways.
Now, I told you, I can't question. Shut the fuck up. Sorry. Has no one ever seen cursive before? Like, what?
I know.
What happened? They're like, oh my Candy, gosh, you're John
like
Hancock.
The Declaration of Independence.
This just shows you where education has gone in America, where like literally like the only time cursive ever existed in people's minds nowadays are the founding fathers and
I'm sure they don't even teach that anymore, right?
Apparently they
handwriting,
don't.
It's like on its way out, totally. Yeah, because it's all, they all type, they all, it's all digital, especially this past year doing digital learning.
How do you learn how to sign your signature?
I know, I feel
they
like
do
it's
it in print, first of all. This is what, this is literally what happens. And then second of all, my whole entire life, people have always said like, oh, Mijan, your handwriting is so beautiful. Beautiful, your handwriting is so beautiful. And I was like, yeah, because I like worked on it when I was like five. Like,
the a lot. Would beat me if I didn't. Yeah.
It's like people are surprised to like see if you can read someone's handwriting. And I'm like, girl, just work on it. Make it look like letters.
Yeah. Like, I'm not a doctor, so I had to learn how to write properly. You know, like, and also I think doctors are so tired. I think that's probably where like that skill goes.
Yeah.
When we get to the interview portion, because basically this is a pageant, and you know from running like countless pageants, Bev, in Philly, like the interview portion is quite important, right? It kind of tells you how they're...
It is in the context of a pageant. I don't necessarily think that it's that important in this context of Drag Race.
Oh, really?
It's kind of just like, screen time.
Yeah, it's like filling out the episode. Like, I know they do it every year, but it's just like, this is where we get everyone's like sad backstory or like triumphant story. And it's just, I feel like this is the episode that they always show for like, for the Emmy for your consideration. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to show RuPaul crying three times. We're going to show Michelle giving a f*** about your lives. And then, what would you say to two-year-old you? Yeah, I'm...
Well, I think what it is it's them trying to like figure out what your narrative is, because they don't really know who the queens are at the beginning of the episode. But now during this interview portion section, they're like, okay, now here's who you are. And what was not problematic, but like what I thought was interesting during this moment is that You know, RuPaul's laughing during Gottmik's interview. RuPaul's laughing during Candy's interview. RuPaul's laughing during Simone's interview. Well, actually, we'll get back to that. But for Rosé, RuPaul's just kind of like, oh, so you got bored with acting? Oh, and then you're in Stephanie's Child? Okay.
Yeah. And Michelle can't help just throw a dig at Jan. Like, every hour, she's like, oh, you did better than Jan. Oh, you're friends with Jan, you did better than
her. Are you competitive that way? Yeah.
I think the judges like legit hate Jan. Yes. First of all, second of all, I don't think they actually like Rosé that much, because they keep on calling her plastic and whatever. And then I think that what this really is, not gonna lie, and I hate to say it, but I'm going to, because this is a podcast where I'm supposed to say controversial things to, like, you know, keep people listening. I wonder, is this just World of Wonder's bid to sign Stephanie's Child to World of Wonder Records?
Oh my God.
Well, they would have to get Laguna on the show first. They'll do that after.
Season 14.
I'm telling you, they have Jan signed into, right. You know, signed. They have Rosé signed. So all they need to do is one more season with Laguna, and then you just, you know, Bob's your uncle.
Oh, no doubt. I bet that's on the horizon.
They can tour with the Frock Destroyers and what was the other one? Yeah. United King Dolls.
Yeah, because I think anything that WoW wants to pull under its umbrella, they're gonna get their hands on, you know. And then, the more musician drag queens there are, the more it helps. Well, I mean, they've got that song contest show coming out. So, like, I think they're definitely going in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as someone who's auditioned several times and never been on, you sign the f-ing contract that you sign is 75 pages. And it's like they own your life for at least a year with the option to own it for more than that.
This is what I mean. So, like, I feel like Stephanie's Child signed a contract 2 years ago, and it was to have each of them be on the show and then, like, do the World of Wonder Records thing. Because I don't understand, because they had already been on The Voice, or they did two shows at Stephanie Child or one? I can't remember.
Well, they did America's Got Talent and
and The Voice.
And The Voice. And The Voice, it was just like they performed with Jessie J. Like they were just
They were background singers for another queen that was actually the contestant.
Okay. Yeah.
Nidra Bell. They were background singers for Nidra Bell.
But this is what I mean. I feel like they've been kind of like peaking a little bit. Or like they've been plateauing in terms of the fame that they've been able to achieve, and then World of Wonder's trying to like, okay, now we're gonna take you to the next level.
Makes sense.
We'll see, but I have a feeling that Laguna is just, you know.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, you're running out of drag queens in New York City that haven't been, so it's fine.
Literally. I was watching an Instagram live with Jan, Nikki Doll, Chelsea Piers. And Laguna, and it was basically like half of them had been on Drag Race. The other two, one is like basically waiting, and then the last one is going to be the one that takes all their gigs when they're gone, and they can tour again. You know,
that's how it is. That's how it is. When I remember going to see Bianca in New York City when I was with my ex, when she was still doing shows with Shaquita, where they would do the shows where they would just roast each other on stage.
Yeah.
And then Bianca went on, and then Bob took all of her bookings, and then Bob moved on. It's just
and then Monet took all of Bob's bookings. You pass it on to your friends.
Exactly.
How cool is it, though, the House of Avalon is basically like this Jedi mind trick of a drag house, because they started in Little Rock. They probably were like, oh my God, you like drag, you like drag, you like drag, you like drag. Let's all work together, move to LA, and then literally just like throw drag queens onto Drag Race.
I mean, that's amazing to have that like support, because a lot of drag, we could spend a whole nother hour talking about, I don't particularly believe in the whole like idea of like a drag mother or a drag family or drag daughters or that kind of thing. I don't necessarily subscribe to that, but I do think it is important to kind of like have like a group of friends that you can call like your house or whatever that can for you, but still not like telling you what to do and what you can and can't do like a drag mother would or something like that.
It's like a writing group or something like that. You have other creatives,
collaboration,
that you can bounce ideas off of. Co-op.
A co-op.
Yeah, but if it were ever to cross the territory of like someone is controlling what you're doing in terms of your expression, that could be very toxic.
Yeah. Dangerous. Speaking of toxicity, though, what a misdirect, because as I was saying, RuPaul's laughing during Gottmik's interview. RuPaul's laughing during Candy's interview. So you obviously get the impression that they're going nowhere. Then we get Rosé, kind of awkward, not going to lie. Then we get Simone. And RuPaul seems to be very unconvinced by Simone's whole drama. It's like, look, you have major Inner Saboteur vibes. And when RuPaul sees Inner Saboteur, you're literally the next person leaving.
She wants to see you break it. Yeah.
I'm confused by this narrative all of a sudden where, like, Simone is all of a sudden, like she was the powerhouse for the first, like, what, 5 or 6 episodes? Mm-hmm. Like, in episode 2, RuPaul was like, you're a star. You've got it. You're a star.
Yeah.
Like, why all of a sudden is she now the one that's like, oh, she's so fragile. She's doubting herself. Like, bitch, you won 5 challenges. Like, what are you? I don't understand. I don't know.
Honestly, I feel like it's like a weird supercut, and like maybe they kept it.
It's
out.
Like the storyline backwards. Like you're supposed to start at that and then be 100%. The superstar, and she started as a superstar. Now they're like working her backwards.
Did they start doing that later on just because she looked so strong? So they were like, let's highlight this
she
area.
She fumbled in a couple challenges, but right. I mean,
the thing that Delta Work says is that. With the confessionals, especially because the way they film it, like you do the same outfit and then they try and make sure you look the same. Like you can say something like at like maybe like
That's
during,
true.
You know, yeah. you can say something like 3 weeks ago and then they can super cut it into your.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
In, you know, they can do it that way. So Simone could have cried like that the first time that RuPaul said that she was a star and then they're moving it here. But it really does feel, it almost makes her seem disingenuous because it's like, who were you then if you're here this now?
Well, right.
And like, then now all of a sudden in 1 second, like it's all kind of snapped back together. Like I don't. The mind doesn't work that way.
But also they might be wanting to add humanity to someone that could easily come off as like
perfect
a robot.
Yeah. I already have it all going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like you was like, oh, she's really gone down a notch for me because like I don't believe this narrative. I feel manipulated. Like it was just
I personally believe, not that either of you asked, but I personally think it'll come down to Simone or Gottmik as the top two.
No,
one of them will win and I will be happy with either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up until this moment, I was like, oh yeah, definitely like Simone's out. And then for the rest of the episode, she clawed her way back in and we'll get to that. Yeah. But oh my God. Like I was just like, something weird is going on with the editing, shenanigans, whatever.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank it's you, the, production.
Yeah,
it's the Emmy for your consideration episode.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
But I thought the same thing. Is that like between Gottmik and Simone, they have been my top two. I'm like, it's gonna be one of them. It's gonna be one of them.
I think it's abundantly clear. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, totally. But why I've like switched to Rosé now is just because like I feel like it's most likely just because the trajectory of the narrative that they've crafted.
Yeah, they've
like,
been pushing
now
her.
Now they're just calling her the total package, so professional, everything like stunning all the time now. Mm-hmm. Then they've like made this growth looking type of narrative.
Right.
So that's why I think she may get crowned. But at the same time, it could be a misdirect.
Completely. All right, look, Rosé's your friend. We know you're partial. Moving along.
Oh, absolutely not, girl. I just started saying that this week.
Helen,
I just started saying
Rosé
this week. I would have been saying Rosé the whole time if that were the case.
Whatever, Nick. Whatever. Just want to say it because it has to be said. Mama Ru looked resplendent on the runway this week. Yeah. Thank God, because we got that trash last week. And the outfit was so good, it was almost impossible to recognize that she was doing the mini challenge wig on the main stage this week.
The mini challenge wig.
You know when she does like the mini challenge when she announces what the mini challenge is during
in the video
the room mail.
Was it the same wig?
It's the same wig. That's the wig.
It's like the classic.
It's that same pale wig.
I didn't pick that up.
And it's the same wig that she was wearing in this new Lucky video.
And, I did notice that.
Literally. Some point last year, RuPaul did all of the mini challenges of all of the franchise.
And probably for UK too.
Yeah, for UK. Yeah. No, UK, Holland, and probably Australia as well.
Canada.
Same wig, and then also lip sync to this song that she's releasing.
work smarter, not harder. It's fine.
Yep. Probably all in one day, but mind you.
Oh, totally. Do the makeup one time.
So we have this new Lucky video that RuPaul's releasing. Mm-hmm. On a scale, well, like, if you can use like 1 to 5 words, how do you think each of these people did? RuPaul.
This song was a choice.
At least it's different.
Can sing? Who knew? I've never heard RuPaul sing this much on a song before
that reminds
in my life.
Of Rose's
I was like,
roast.
Oh, voice lessons. Interesting. Okay. Gottmik.
I she was my favorite. Mm-hmm. I liked hers the most. Mm-hmm. This is more than 5 words again. Sorry, I don't pay attention to directions. I loved, like, my friend was like, what is this Destiny's Child Bills thing we have going on where it's the same room, but it's in different colors.
Yeah,
I was
that
is very true.
It was great.
It is very, was very Bills.
Good call.
Gottmik. Very effective verse.
Perfect verse. Oh my God, twins.
Very good.
Candy.
It was like so solid.
Candy.
They did her dirty with that outfit. You don't put the biggest girl in yellow. Come on now.
No.
Come on now. And white stockings. I've never been a huge Candy fan. I could take her or leave.
I thought another small wig. Really?
Good try. Still had a hard time hearing.
Rosé.
I liked the verse. You're going to wear the wig that you wore in the Bossy Rossi challenge. Your redneck wig is also going to be your finale number wig.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Good verse. Would have liked a little bit better.
But that's your friend. I agree with Bev. I literally wrote down like a brown wig.
I know. I was surprised. And I was like,
and she was wearing pink.
I know.
She was wearing pink, a darker pink, and she could have put any one of her lighter pink. She has so many light pink wigs.
It would have been so much more her to do something pink. And like, I think it would have been right to do.
Yeah, I just want to say in general, Rosé's makeup this episode was the worst it's been all season.
Yeah,
she did
it was
not look
little,
like a winner
it was
with
a little
that
unclear.
Makeup. Yeah, it was great. It was terrible.
And the freckles I thought should have been like red, not black. For the runway look, but anyway.
Like moving along. Simone.
I loved it. I thought she was she was probably my second favorite, but I loved it. And I love, again, the misdirect where she's like not confident with the dance and then she just turns it out. So. And she looks stunning.
My beautiful queen. Good job.
Literally, absolutely stunning. That's for last.
Yeah.
Just amazing. Anyway, so
can we talk about the random dancers wearing fencing masks for some reason?
I think they were trying to hide their like double mask situation.
Yeah. I was like, this is a choice. Okay. They're in fencing masks. Cool.
Much else.
They've done this a lot with dancers wearing B for Vendetta masks during like live performances. You know, I think they're just trying to like make it look like everything's normal, which is hard to do, but it was strange. Especially because it's like, you know, it's probably the same people that we've normally seen. It was probably like the pit crew. And they're like our favorite people. So like, why would we not want to see them? But you know, anyway.
Yeah, I recognize some of the abs.
okay, obviously we get this runway. And like you said, the Dalmatians have been found. It's not my favorite Gottmik moment. I feel like she's been transcendent, moving along, you know. Mm-hmm. Candy looked like Olivia on the runway for some reason.
I guarantee you that was an outfit for a runway that like she didn't get to use.
That was not
best drag. Yeah.
No,
that was not Candy's best drag.
That was not a look. That was not a look that you saved for the very end because you knew you needed to have something nice for the end.
No.
That was, I don't have a lot left. This is the best thing that I have left. And it's for a runway. It's probably for the runway that she wasn't a part of in the episode that she wasn't in.
Yeah, I agree. Totally.
Yeah. But I wouldn't even know what to expect for Candy's best drag because I don't think I can identify her.
It would have been like
signature.
Pinup, kind of like Jessica Rabbit. It was probably, you know what it probably was? It was probably was that dress signature? That she had. Remember the one where she added a train to it?
Yeah.
Probably so.
This is probably that dress.
Yeah.
Because she just likes, that's kind of more her vibe. Anyway,
I
Rosé's dress, not going to lie, made her look so big. And I feel like...
Well, she has that problem a lot.
She doesn't understand how to deal with her own proportions. And this, to me, is like, you need to figure that out.
Yeah, she doesn't like to cinch. And sometimes the silhouette is like...
It's not even about cinching. It's like the way that they did the fanning out of the fabric and then with the thing next to it, I was like, that was done in a way that made her look twice as big as she is.
Yeah. It looked like a fucking tablecloth.
I was a little bit bothered by the hem on the top part, which, I mean, I guess it was intentional, but it like looked a little frayed right at the chest. And I thought that was a mistake.
Was like,
let's talk about the wig.
It was like big and flat at the same time.
Yeah.
As you can see, I'm a wig person. The thing I noticed first about a drag queen's wig is whether or not the base tease of the wig is like, when a drag queen's wig flops down like that, it's because it wasn't teased enough at the root. And the problem with wearing that wig was probably two wigs with bundles sewn into it to make it that long. Mm-hmm. Like, it just gets so heavy that good for you that it went down to your ass. But what was the point if it made it heavy and flop like down in your face?
Right.
Also, if it's like best drag, you could do an updo, you know? Yeah. And that would have made her look a little slimmer, you know, with a little height added to the widest outfit ever.
Yeah.
I got finale vibes from it, but I didn't get best drag vibes from it. Also, if you catch my drift.
What was going on with her eyebrow? Like, it's like you have this big red wig, you have blah, 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 and then you have this really hard black eyebrow.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like, it was just like this. It's like, you know, it's like a bolt of lightning shooting out of her, you know.
Yeah, which she often does the like straight back line kind of thing, but it didn't serve well on this. I mean, it didn't really match and go along. And the just bothered me that the freckles were black.
Yeah.
It looked like
her eyeliner exploded.
Yeah.
It looked like fallout. I mean, it should have been like red or like peachy red.
Like, I am a fan, I will say, as a drag queen, I will always do my eyebrows brown no matter what color hair I'm wearing.
I think
if you are like, if you're wearing a red wig and then you do red eyebrows, it's like, I don't know, it goes into like Ronald McDonald territory.
Yeah.
Where it's like matchy-matchy.
I mean, red freckles, yeah.
I mean, she could have done brown eyebrows. It just didn't need to be black. I just wanted to be like, look, you can find complementary colors and you can make things work. But it was really, really frustrating because you had like Candy there actually in looking pretty good besides the outfit, but like the makeup was great. You know, God makes a great makeup artist. So like even with the like weird, like, you know, skin holes situation, her makeup still looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And then Simone's makeup was just effortless, you know?
Yeah.
And she looked like Shea Coulee's, you know,
There was a timelessness to it that was so glamorous.
Yeah, I love the sleeves.
That was really, really good. Long sleeves.
Yeah. And then like Carson said, she wears clothes. Clothes don't wear her.
Yes.
And
she looked the best out of the four.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, they had them lip sync separately. And here's why. Because there's no way that Gottmik not being a performer is going to out lip sync those other people in order to get to the finale, you know, next to a Candy Muse who's going to like bum rush her, blah, 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 blah. But in watching them side by side, Simone won.
I agree with that.
She was funny. She had the moment. She like took her time.
Yeah.
She had, I love it when a drag queen has, Bev, you've said this before, make strong choices. Right? We don't get like just a wash of things. So she had a specific choice for each section of the song.
Yeah.
And I don't know how she does that. I mean, she must really sit down and like write a whole movie script.
She either plans it out or she comes from like a background where she's like a good improvisationalist. She's like
improviser.
Yeah. Like you think of something and like in the moment and just go with it as opposed to like, just like I always can tell when a drag queen is just like looking over the audience and just like doing their own thing as opposed to like actually being in the moment and thinking of something and doing it.
It was just one of these things where I was like, wow, this was a great song for Simone. I mean, I think Gottmik did a pretty good job, but when she squatted down and started holding herself and like, you know, just was like squeezing her eyes shut, I was like, what are you doing? This is like
I thought it was an odd choice to do a dance mix as the final lip sync when everyone, for the most part, is in a ball gown. It's like, exactly. you're gonna pull out a Whitney, like, Hex Hector remix when we're all standing around in updos and ball gowns. Okay, cool.
I don't know. And then I was wondering, because, you know, Rosé had so much fabric on, you know, could she take some of it off? Because that would have been wonderful.
Or if there was a reveal built in or something. Yeah.
There should have been. There was so much fabric. Anything could have been taken off. Right. Like, we're at that moment. We've talked about it. Based on the facts and the judges' critiques, and your own personal views, hopefully not prejudices, Nick. Who do you think can take the crown?
Me first? Mm-hmm. I think it will come down to Gottmik versus Simone, and I would be happy with either of them as the winner. I'm probably 50-50 down the middle for both of them. I think they were both the standouts for the entire season, and politically, it serves RuPaul's Drag Race to have either of them be the winner. I think it might politically serve Drag Race to have Gottmik more so than Simone, just because there's been such a backlash about inclusion of trans people that would maybe be their best choice politically. But 100%. I enjoy both of them equally. And I think the other two are just kind of there as Candy's there because she made good TV, and Rosé is there because
Candy got her Coke producing credit.
Cool.
And they're paying her well.
Yeah.
That's my two cents.
Well, Simone was my first choice for most of the season. And then I switched to Gottmik, thinking that she was most likely. And now, as of this week, I'm saying Rosé, just because it looks like it's leaning in that direction and she's shown her strength and everything. But in order to stop the bullying, I will say Gottmik. Because I think that would be the most solid, most inspiring, best thing kind of for the franchise. And also Gottmik has proved it with so much consistency and artistry. I would love that.
Okay. I'm going to say something that recently occurred to me and Griffin Leeds, a friend of the pod. What if they did a double win?
I think that'd be great.
I think it's a possibility.
Yeah, I thought about that recently too, because it's like, it's a coronavirus season. It's been so stressful for everyone. That would be so joyous to do.
And I don't see a reason not to do it. I really don't.
Yeah.
And because, one, there are two people who would represent the community so well.
Yes.
And it's just time to move forward. We are getting AFAB queens apparently in UK. There've been, non-binary queens on the show. We have Gottmik now. It's just time to crown someone and move forward with our lives and start being a community that like isn't tearing itself apart, which will never happen, but like a little bit we could take a step forward.
It would go a long way. And I think, there's like no reason not to. The show is more popular than ever, has more money than ever. They can give out $200,000 to two people, you know, like that's, and it would be a gag. It would be something to make season 13 extra memorable, which I'm sure they would love to do.
And they could actually film them both winning at the same time, unlike the last tie we had where they just Frankenstein hodgepodge together.
And we were supposed to be like
two people like that.
Okay.
And every it was other so blatant. Season, they've filmed a tie between like two of the contestants. Yeah. And the one time you make it a tie, you're going to like Frankenstein monster this together.
Okay. So I mean, look, it's time for a Gagatandra, and that would be it.
Yeah,
I'd be happy.
Yeah.
Bev.
Yes, my love.
Oh my gosh. I could talk to you all day, every day, you know, for hours.
Have to do it again.
You know,
I'll be a correspondent. Just bring me on anytime you want.
Correspondent.
Love it. We have the whole story and the whole and
the
our
weekly, yes. The weekly Bev Minute.
Yeah, all on Brown Eyewitness News.
Exactly.
Well, if you ever want to send us a voice memo because you have a very strong opinion about something, I will put it on the podcast.
Oh yeah.
I will. I will. Perfect. Don't tempt me with that voice memo, or let me know if I can't put it on.
Right. I don't want to get canceled.
Oh, my God. Neither do I. But so please, we believe in consensual, respectful stalking of all of our guests in a way that they feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously, you're on every platform besides the ones that are not worth your time. But exactly. Where can people find you?
Well, I'm a smart, resourceful lady, and I'm under Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Venmo, and Cash App, all at It's Bev Bitch, ITSBEVBITCH, like Britney, but elderly.
Look at you. Look at you. Britney could never.
It's
you know?
Bev Bitch.
Oh my gosh. Please, everyone, find, stalk, love. Bev is, we barely deserve her, and yet she keeps giving it to us. So we thank you. Thank you for what you do. Yes. Please continue creating viral content just by being yourself.
And keep on saving the world with your charities.
I would love to. I couldn't possibly. I was positively clear to be here.
Okay. The next time you come, we're gonna just do a segment where we're like, you can Schitt's Creekify any moment.
I'm
like,
having palpitations just thinking about it.
So perfect.
Oh my God. Only one of the best TV shows to have made in the past 10 years.
God, I love it. I love it so much.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so before the gremlins come and tell me that we've run out of time, Bev, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're so happy. Everyone that's listening, find her. You can also talk to us. Unfortunately, we're not as good as Bev. We're Hunty Whispering on Twitter. Whispering Hunties everywhere else. We don't have a TikTok and we don't have a Snapchat. So
just
don't
different
do that.
Points. Just different points in the journey. That's all.
I know, but please be safe, be well, really think about what good you can do in the world, and make sure that you call a friend this week just to check on them, because it's a lonely,
grandmother.
Crazy world out there, and not all of us are going to make it to the other side of this craziness, but we can if we do it together. Halo. And share this with someone you love, hate, or think is sexy. Till next week, bye!
Bye!
Goodbye.
Whispering Hunties is not endorsed by World Wonder, VH1, Viacom, Great Canada, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. We involve drag race and Canada's drag race, and all names, stickers, and all uses are registered trademarks and or copyrights. Their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.